Las composa ormai, eh? Ti ve la da fe. Nessa da viria de mai poli, vixa, comens de puja chante. Namo bensi se ciamo ni fo. Namo bensi se ciamo ni fo. Namo bensi se ciamo ni fo. Namo quan si in pusa. Namo quan si in pusa. Namo quan si in pusa. Namo amito fo. Namo amito fo. Namo amito fo. Namo mi lo fo. Namo mi lo fo. Namo mi lo fo. Namo pusien pusa. Namo pusien pusa. Namo pusien pusa. Namo di zang wang pusa. Namo di zang wang pusa. Namo di zang wang pusa. Namo fo pusa. Namo fo pusa. Namo fo pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa. Buddhang bhagavantang abhivadimi. Swagato bhagavata dhammo dhamman namasami. Supadipanno bhagavato sawakasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 3. Yeah? We will continue our chanting. Will continue from Patipa Puja. So, Patipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarpa tithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang Gandha Sambarayutena दुःखेन अहं सुखहीनः पूजये पूजनीयं तं पूजाभजनमुत्तमं वर्णगन्धगुणोपेतं एतं कुसुमसन्ततिं पूजयामि मुनिन्दास श्रीपादसरोरोहे पूजयामि बुद्धं कुसुमेन पुण्येन पुत्रेण च होतु मोक्षं पुंसां मिलयति यथा इदं मे कायो तथा विनाशभावं आदिवासे तु नोबन्ते पानीयं परिकल्पितं अनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगं हातुमुत्तमं आदिवासे तु नोबन्ते पाले परिकल्पितं अनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगं हातुमुत्तमं आदिवासे तु नोबन्ते भोजनं परिकल्पितं अनुकम्पां उपादाय पातिगं हातुमुत्तमं. Now let us chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help the need arise the need of clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are going to offer to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspirations. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, here you are. All of the light. so that we can have our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Okay. Just relax completely, body and mind. Then maintain awareness for as long as you can to stabilize the awareness nature within. So this aspect of training the mind to be aware, or we call the awareness-based meditation, is very important. So the first three support is really good enough. Initially, you only need to learn how to relax completely, body and mind. Then don't try to do anything, don't try to know, just let things be. When you are relaxed, your body and mind is at peace. And at the same time, at ease means nothing to disturb you, nothing to bother you. So in that way, you can really meditate. When you are really relaxed and at ease, meditation becomes very easy, very normal. Then you just rest inside there. Let the mind settle down. Whatever movement, whatever sankhara activity, whatever movement and activity within our own form and mind, let it continue to arise and pass away because you don't feed it with any more unnecessary wrong thought or negative thought energy. Then it will lose its power to create more thinking, which means the mundane mind will settle down and become normal again. Means it will return to its original state of inner awareness, inner peace, before the thinking, before the activity, before the stirring of mind. Through this, you will come to realize your silent mind. That silent mind without thought is actually your true mind. And there is your meditative mind. So all of awareness-based meditation is to realize this, stabilize it, so that the awareness nature become very stable. Once you are able to do that, you will understand many things on your own. Meditation will take off on its own. The real awareness-based meditation is the opposite of thought-based. Where thought-based, there is a lot of doing by the thought. The thought process is very active. Whereas awareness-based, there is no thinking, no thought at all. It just relax, aware. And when you just relax and maintain awareness, the thinking mind, the mundane mind, will slow down and settle down. Then you will start to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How the form and mind interact. Within our physical body, we have our physical senses, the sixth sense. When you are mindful, relaxed, and aware, you will understand how the mind, upon contact with the sense spaces, can create activity. One of the most common activity is, of course, thinking. And within the thinking, you have your content of consciousness. So the content of your consciousness, normally, they consist the aggregates of mind. That's why within the content, there is this contact, there is this feeling, there is this memory that allow you to perceive things, to arise a mental perception within. And this is how you know the world. This is how you interact with the world. And through your own ignorance and delusion, how you condition yourself into negativity, to stir your mind, to react to sense experience. The moment you encounter something in life, That's why upon contact of mind with the senses, then the respective sense of consciousness will be triggered off. Then because of our memory, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system, all the accumulated knowledge, we tend to behave in certain habitual ways. That's why the mundane mind start to react to sense experience, stir and become what it is. Then you start to understand how living beings get themselves entangled, how living beings get themselves into trouble for nothing, mainly due to their own ignorance. So this observation through the silent mind, the awareness nature, is what meditation is all about. The silent inner awareness that is aware of all the activity, of all the movement that is going on within nature, within our own form of mind, is what meditation is all about. Through all this observation, direct seeing, the understanding will arise, and our nature will awaken to all those that manifest within the conditioned world. Then the teaching become very different, the teaching become very clear. Then we can relate to life, we can relate to everything that is been taught to us by the Buddha. The essential teachings are the secret of life, because this Dhamma is very unique. When you understand them, when you comprehend them, you like completely awaken to the secret of life. Then it's like you suddenly understand life, understand who are you, what are you, and understand how you function as a human being, how you know the world, how you interact with the world, how you manifest, and what are these so-called two aspects of mind: the mundane mind, the thinking mind, conditioned arising mind, and the true mind when thoughts cease to be. So all this understanding will fall into place. Okay, you can slowly, mind, come out of the meditation. Then we shall do the chanting. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamok Kadang Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Be sampanno sugato lo cavido anodaro purisa dhammasardi satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko upanayiko majjhatam viditammo vinohiti subhadipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Uyupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa bhogala esa bhagavato sāvakkhasaṅgho āhuneyo pāhuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttaraṃ puññaṃ khetaṃ lokasāti sādhu sādhu sādhu. Okay, you can be seated. Then we shall continue from this Dhamma sharing book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at Volume 3, Chapter 2, page 367. Okay, so we will continue from there. Once they have cultivated and certified to the fruits of Arahantship, the Buddha opens the provisional to reveal the real. So this one is very important in the sense that over the 45 years of preaching by the Buddha, he has to actually start with the provisional teachings before he actually reveal the great teaching, the final teaching. So the initial teachings, they are mainly called the provisional teaching, means provisional, initial. And these are for those who are interested in understanding the essential Dhamma to cultivate accordingly so that they can realize the sainthood way. They can become enlightened beings. But these are the four types of enlightened beings. And each and every one of these types, they are one pair. You can realize path and friction. So these four stages of sainthood, or they call enlightenment. Initially, we have the first stage of sainthood, which is the Sotapannaship, or they call it the first fruit. When you cultivate accordingly and you are able to sever the first three fetters that bind living beings to samsara, then you become a Sotapanna. So the initial phase is you are on the path. Then as you cultivate and stabilize the understanding, you develop the friction of it. When you develop the friction of it, then the whole training for that first stage of sainthood, Sotapannaship, is complete. Then you can move on to the second stage of sainthood, which is Sakadagami. So Sakadagami also same, you have the path and friction. So when you are on the path with the cultivator, the five-year form and mind that goes through the cultivation, the wisdom and the understanding behind will stabilize. Then, apart from the first three fetters that bind living beings into this world, the conditioned world, you have two more fetters. So these two, as they move onto the second stage of sainthood, they only accentuated it, means reduce it. So the first three fetters, as we all know, the first one is sacrality, self-delusion, because of that wrong view with regards to this five aggregate form in mind. We deludedly cling and grasp and hold on to these five aggregates of form and mind, thereby creating the delusion. So these are grasping aggregate when you deludedly cling onto it, grasp onto it, hold onto it and say, this is me, this is I, believing there is a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on, cling on to identify with. Believing that this is the human being, the living being, that has a life of its own, that has an individual creation of its own. But in actual fact, when you meditate, when you silence your mind, relax, maintain awareness, then you start to understand clearly, who are you, what are you? That fine aggregate form in mind, the so-called human being, is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why we were awakened to this truth. Then we will not be deluded anymore. Then we start to see the five aggregate of my mind, each and every of this aggregate, they are dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. They have the universal characteristics. They exhibit them. The universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent. Because they are dependent on originating, that's why they are impermanent. Dependent on condition, they change, they flow. When conditions used to be, it ceases to be. And because of that, they follow this nature's law of paticca-samuppada. That if you want things your way, which is not nature's way, the universal characteristics of suffering will arise. And suffering, the cause behind it, is craving. Wanting things your way, which is not nature's way. And because it's impermanent, that's why it is non-self, not a permanent changing entity. So the third universal characteristic is empty nature or existence or non-self nature of every of this aggregate and phenomena. So once you understand, that understanding enable you to root off that sacrality or self-delusion to cling and to grasp. Then as we continue to silence our mind and to meditate, then we realize the five aggregate of form and mind, when we are without delusion, can be pure aggregates. Pure aggregates that are non-grasping, which means you will not hold, you will not cling, you will not grasp. And you know clearly what they are. They are just karmically conditional from our karmic nature, a vehicle and a tool for us to arise within this existential world, to enable us to manifest as a living being, to live life, to experience life, to develop all the cultivation, the perfection, to go through what they call life, or for most people who are deluded, to go through the karmic process. And when you have all this understanding, you develop the wisdom to free your mind, to liberate your mind from being deluded and entangled. So this sakayality, the first fetters is the most powerful. Once you break that, then the second fetters, which is no more rites and ritual, will also be rooted out. Means when people tell you after you die, then that being will go through the karmic process or go through whatever. Like all the superstition, the rites and ritual ask you to pray to them, do all the burning of the paper house and all those things. You will know that is delusion because there is no being behind. That form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool karmically conditional for us to arise. And this form and mind somehow is subject to karma because it is within the conditioned world. That's why the conditioned world has its own duality. Duality exists within the conditioned world. The conditioned world has its own dhamma. So the conditioned dhamma will apply to the conditioned world. But this understanding is very critical and very important. Without this understanding, you will be trapped. You would deludedly cling onto this fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you. That's why you cannot free. But when you know it's not you, then it is a vehicle and tool for you to come, to use it. Then you use it for the good of the many, for the good of whatever that can arise. So the ability to use it and not be deluded by it is the most beautiful things. Means this form and mind, you can make use of it while it serves you. And you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick, or one day die. You know, this is not you. This one is just a vehicle and a tool. And this one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. It's subject to karma. So when you understand all this, you have a duty towards the form and mind. I mean, this form and mind cannot simply behave and do things, because if you allow it to go that way, it will affect your karmic nature. Once it affects your karmic nature, then whenever you come with the vehicle and the tool, you will be affected. That's why the penetrative understanding arises when you awaken to the first fetters of sakayality. Then once this one is rooted out, the rite and ritual also rooted out, the second fetters. You will not believe in what people tell you and say all the same. Just finish means finish, no more. Means that fine aggregate of all my mind, that lifespan, that segmented line, is no more, cease. Then the next movement is, if you are not enlightened, then due to avidya, there is this rebirth consciousness that will take place. Once the rebirth consciousness take effect, then this phase of the segmented line is no more, gone. Then the new phase starts, the new segment starts. Then because of all this, the third fetters, which is the faith in the teaching, this teaching, the Buddha Dharma, or faith in the Triple Gem, will be there. It will be unshakable. It will arise. That's why even at the first stage of sainthood, the Sotapan is no longer deluded by the concept of self. Sakayati is rooted out. Then there is no more rites and ritual. It no longer can be deceived by all this, what they call superstition and whatever people say, because it will understand, he know you, he know me. But there is a form in mind that is subject to karma. That part, he is very clear. And because of that, the faith in this teaching, in this understanding of the Buddha Dharma, which includes the Buddha himself and the Aryan disciple of the Buddha, they call it the Triple Gem. the fading the triple jam mainly is the Dhamma, because the thing that is common to the triple jam is the teaching, the Four Noble Truths, the essential teachings. So this teaching becomes the basis of understanding of life. That's why from there on, the Sotapanna will never take birth in the lower realm, the four woeful state. And the Sotapanna can never break his five precepts. He knows it's not worth it. There is no more delusion. Then after that, he will move on to cultivate the second stage of sin, will be Sakadagami. So the next two fetters is, of course, sensual desire and ill will. And these two are the basis of the evil roots of greed and hatred. And greed and hatred come from delusion, ignorance. So these two factors, when you work on it, initially at the second stage of sinhood, you only reduce it. They call it attenuating. Means your sensual desire and ill will, the hatred, the anger, the envy, the jealousy, the negative emotion, all this will be attenuated or reduced, greatly reduced. Your craving, your desire, your craving for the senses, they will be greatly reduced. Then as you move on to the third stage of sainthood, Anagami, you would have severed completely the fourth and fifth fetters, means sensual desire and ill will completely gone. That's why during that stage, you are incapable of doing the wrong thing. The three type of right conduct will always be with you. And this is what step one to step seven of the Abhijja Sutta is all about. Then after that, you cultivate step eight, which is the four foundation of mindfulness, to root out the last five fetters. The last five fetters are more difficult to root out, especially the last one, Abhijja. But even the six and the seven and the eight and the nine is not easy. Yeah. Because six and seven, those who do jhanas, concentration, samatha, meditation, they tend to attach, they tend to cling, like the two teachers of the Buddha, Sakyamuni, the Alara and Buddhaka. They cling on to form jhana, they cling on to the formless jhanas. So when they are associated with this very, very strong concentration, or what they call samatha type of development of jhanas, they are still deluded by these two factors, thinking that these are the ultimate states that are very useful and very important to meditator. But not knowing that when you cling on to them, you hold on to them, it doesn't root out the last five factors, especially Abhijja. Then after that, you can still fall back. You can still fall back. So because of that, those who have the understanding, they will continue to cultivate and develop the last, what they call, to root out the last five fetters. So the last five fetters, you need to hit Arahant stage. The fourth stage of sainthood, when you go beyond Anagami, then you start to continue to develop the meditative understanding until you finally root out avijja, ignorant. And avijja is the main source of all this. That's why you look at the last five fetters, the six, seven, eight, and nine. They are very fine mind states and not easy for normal people to actually root it out. The six and seven I already explained, attachment to form jhanas and the formless jhana. There are four form jhana. The first and the fourth jhana within the form rind. So they sometimes classify as the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and the fourth jhana. Where every stage you relinquish some of the jhanic factors. Yeah. The five jhanic factors, I think you all know. Vitaka, vichara, then you have piti, then you have sukha, you have ekagata. So initially you apply thought, sustained thought. That's why it's still a thought-based type of meditation. When you apply thought and sustained thought, then you are able to hold that thought. Then you realize the one-pointedness. Yeah. Then as you go through the one-pointedness, you experience piti accumulating to sukha. That's why the five jhanic factors are there. But it's not so stable. Then after that, because of that strong energy, it is a conditioned state. So they continue to meditate. They continue to develop the refinement of those five jhanic factors. Until finally they become very skillful, they don't have to hold on to the applied thought and the sustained thought. Means no need to hold on to anything. They just let the mind stay in one pointedness. Ekagata. Yeah. So when that mind can stay in one pointedness, the first two jhanic factor can be relinquished. Then they experience the second jhana. The second jhana, which is more refined. Then as they develop further relaxation and awareness, and sometimes continue to develop that concentrated samatha, mind state, then they realize piti, that spiritual joy, has become too gross. It's no longer so like special. We are like good food. Every time you eat, experience it. Then you start to like find it not so fine already, too gross. Then they relinquish it. So when they relinquish piti, they stay in the third jhana, which is sukhang. Very blissful, very blissful. The mind becomes so blissful. Then after a while, they realize even that state is still can be refined upon to be more and more fine until finally they actually realize paucity, but they doesn't know what paucity is. Paucity is an enlightenment factor, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, no mind, the silent mind, but they don't know what that thing is. That's why they relinquish that sukhang. Then after that, they stay in the fourth jhana through an ekagata. Because they are so skilled, they have trained for so long, the one-pointedness. That's why at the fourth jhana, the characteristic is upeka. They always say equanimity, because it's one-pointedness. But this one is a conditioned state, it's not a free mind, it's without the wisdom. The mental hindrances are still suppressed, not rooted out yet. That's why they cannot free. Then when they decide to go beyond the form jhana, then they move into consciousness. They move into the formless realm. Then they just reflect and contemplate on infinite space. Then the formless jhana will develop. Then as they develop into infinite space, they will continue to develop the sixth jhana. The fifth jhana is infinite space. Then the sixth jhana is infinite consciousness. Consciousness become infinite. Then later on, as they move up to be more refined, they reach the seventh jhana, which is the realm of nothingness. Like there is nothing inside that. Completely. Like empty. But that is not the true emptiness. Yeah, that is a mind state, a conditioned state. Like you think you are with that emptiness. You think everything is unreal. You can have that type of illusion, but it's not a wisdom, because it's a conditioned state that makes you feel like that. the realm of nothingness. Like everything is empty. Nothing exists. Your whole clarity of mind is empty. And after that, when they continue to move on to the final stage, which is the Ajna, that one, the mind state is even more subtle. They call it the realm of neither perception or non-perception. They don't know whether they perceive or they don't perceive. That's why they live very long up there. Very, very long. Yeah. So, all these are trapped in the six and seven fetters. And because these are mind states that are so fine, before the Buddha arrives, nobody really have the understanding to realize those truths that is beyond those mind states. Even the Buddha himself took him 6 years. And later on, he left the two teachers, but he knew this is not what he was looking for. What he was looking for is he left the palace because he realized his form and mind is still subject to old age, sickness, and death. He cannot overcome old age, sickness, and death. Because when these realities hit him, he realized he got no answer. Because he believed the form was him. But later on, when he starts to develop the meditative understanding at the faithful night, after he received the monk rice offering from Sujata, and develop the causes and conditions to actually connect back to his nature, and he awakened. Then he inherit back everything that he has come to realize. Then he came to that profound understanding that this form and mind is not him. That's why his problem gone. He was seeking the answer to old age, sickness, and death. That pertained to the physical form and mind. Nothing to do with his real nature, his true nature. That's why once that one awakened too, his mind free. Then after that, he realized everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. And they arise because of this sakkarity that condition the living being to grasp, to cling, and to hold. That's why they cannot free. So that avijja, that ignorance, that actually trigger of the thinking. That's why he come out with the dwelling he saw, avijja bhajya sankara. Because of ignorance, wanting to know, wanting to experience, clinging, grasping. So all this are the very fine mind state that actually entangle living being. So he said, when you can have all this understanding and liberate your mind from clinging to all these things through delusion, sakkarity, then your mind is free. Yeah. That's why even at the anagami state, they can still attach to form and formless jhana. Then after that, the eight and the nine factors is more interesting. The eight and the nine factors is, they call it restlessness of mind, the eight one. The mind, for no reason, can become restless, even at the anagami state. There is no, the first five factors are gone, written out. But the mind can still be restless. Why? And restlessness is actually one of the mental hindrances. Because that mind that use the thought process to analyze and to reason can still create his own problem. That's why it can become restless. Why? Because you have this thinking mind, mundane mind, that wants to be peaceful. That craving force is actually a desire. Craving to be and not to be. So you want to be peaceful for no reason. The mind behaves very strangely. That's why if you read some of the sharing by some of the great meditation teachers or master, even Ajahn Mahabua, he went through. He said, That mind you cannot control. He tried every way, Buddha, the Thai traditional way of Buddha, cannot. Then Anapanasati also cannot. Until finally he has to release. That's why he made Ajaman. He released the concentration, the jhana, wow. Then he go back to daily mindfulness. Then he's silent. Then through the daily mindfulness, then when he start to see clearly how he functions as a human, and what is my form, how he got conditioned into all that, then he realized there is nothing, no reality. Everything is just dependent, originating, condition, arising, right? Cause of he know you, he know me. That's why from there, he allowed the mind to be. Think also like that, don't think also like that. The world is the world, condition like that, things will be like that. See things as they are, and be at peace with all causes and conditions. Then he realized the mind doesn't behave restlessness, doesn't run around, doesn't do all those funny things anymore. But there is a mundane mind. As long as there is craving, sakkaya ditti, no matter how subtle, it will have that problem or restlessness. Then the other one is the minor conceit, the last, the nine fetters before avijja is rooted out. And this minor conceit, even first stage of sainthood, second stage of sainthood, third stage of anagami, they still have. Well, they will have this subtle, they call it minor conceit, very subtle type of conceit. They believe they have the Dhamma. They already rooted out the first five fetters. Then they have this, what they call understanding that they are different. Yeah. Then they believe that because of that difference, they hold on to the very, very fine type of, they call it mana or minor conceit. You have that feeling like you are different from the rest. They are still not enlightened. You already enlightened. You have this understanding. So whatever you hold on to, no matter how refined, like the eight and the nine fetters, it will still bind you to samsara. That's why finally, to root out avijja, you really have to free your mind from everything. Means you must know the conditioned world is the conditioned world of duality. He know you, he know me. Yeah. That's why Huining came out with the understanding, the second hallmark of Huining. He said, there is no mark of a self cultivating. And not only that, because there is no mark of a self, there is also no mark of others. And through deduction, you can deduce. If there is no mark of others, means there is no mark of a living being. Means the living being is not a permanent and changing entity. That's why you cannot hold, you cannot cling. Then finally, there is no mark of Dhamma, life, existence. Everything within the conditioned world is not what you think. It belongs to the conditioned world. You have to liberate from even that. Then finally, the last petal of avijja is gone, rooted out. And only then, that being can become an arahant. We call it the fourth stage of sainthood. Once arahant means avijja rooted out, upon that parinibbana, there is no avijja. That's why there is no rebirth consciousness born of ignorant avijja. No more. That's how they transform and become arahant. So these are the provisional teachings, like Sakyamuni Buddha mentioned. Initially, you need to teach this. You need to get them interested. Yeah. Then after that, when the condition is such, when everything is ready, that's why during the final teaching, the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, or they call it the final phase of the Buddha's teaching, he revealed the real, means the final vehicle, or the Buddha vehicle. So he introduces the teachings of the Bodhisattva way. That's why this teaching, the wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, comes about. Okay, now we can go back to the sharing. Eh? Then when I read, you will understand. You go back a bit, go down a bit. Where was? Oh, okay, okay. Once they have cultivated and certified to the fruit of sainthood until the arahantship, the Buddha, the Buddha opens the provisional to reveal the real. So opening the provisional means teaching them the sainthood way until arahantship. Then once they realize arahantship, the Buddha taught them the larger vehicle, or we call it nowadays the Mahayana teachings, that which is the Bodhisattva way leading to Buddhahood. So this is the final vehicle, the great vehicle. So the meaning is he does away with the provisional Dhamma, which is the sainthood way Dhamma, in favor of the great vehicle, or they call it the Mahayana, the great vehicle. Maha is great. At that time, even though they may not want to cultivate it, because sometimes those who go through the sainthood way, really, I don't blame them during the time of the Buddha. If you go and read the sutta, actually when the Buddha started explaining this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Sutta at the assembly, you remember he said so many of these beings that were listening, all the way up to the very high rhyme up there. Then the even the Upasika, Upasaka, and the monks and other things. While they were listening, it seems a lot of those who are on the sainthood way, they cannot accept. They walk away. It was mentioned in the sutta, they walk away. But somehow later on, when that understanding settled down, then a lot of them came back. Then only they know that this teaching is so beautiful. That's why the Buddha used the word, the Dhamma is beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, and beautiful in the end. Now that is the meaning. From the provisional teaching, you go to the in-between one. Beautiful in the middle means you take the Bodhisattva way. Then later on, when you become the Sammasambuddha, beautiful in the end. So all these are there. So we go back. Then I will read through. By now, it will become very clear. So he does away with the provisional Dhamma in favor of the great vehicle, Mahayana. At that time, even though they may not want to cultivate it, see, a lot of them want, they have got a taste of the Dhamma already. And so they set the lesser vehicle aside, and cultivate the great vehicle. When they cultivate the great vehicle, they have to give and hold the precept. So giving and precepts of morality are the first two of the six perfections. So it's the same. When they start the Bodhisattva way, the six perfection, the first two is still the same. Dana and Sila, giving and morality. As to maintaining the precept, those who wish to maintain precept are advised to do so themselves. They should pay attention to whether or not they themselves are keeping the precepts. They should not go around pestering others about them, saying things like, since you don't understand, I will explain to you how to keep these precepts. Yeah. Precepts are to be kept personally. You should not go around telling other people to keep them. Keeping your own precept. Don't fail to keep them yourself, and yet harm other people about keeping them. This is just like having the filthy clothes yourself, which you do not wash, and yet helping others to wash their clothes. It's also called neglecting your own field and reading other people's field. You do not work in your own field, but you go help other plant theirs. Your own go to ruin, and you reap no harvest. So in keeping the precept, keep them yourself. So maybe this is Chuen Hua's way of presenting the understanding of what precept is. For me, the more important understanding is when it comes to precept, it is out of love and compassion for us all living beings that the Buddha advises us to keep the precept. The precept is for the individual's good, is to help you avoid all evil. And that must be the key understanding, not to make life difficult for you. A lot of people complain, oh, very mafan, oh, so much to keep, especially the monk's precept, 227, and the nun, a lot more, almost 300 plus. Then they say, sometimes very mafan, certain precept, very difficult to keep. So all this depends on understanding. It's not to say the Buddha wants you to keep. Why should he want you to keep? Your life, you decide how you... But he advises you to avoid all evil and how to do it. The only way to do it is to keep your precept. That's why out of love and compassion for the living being, the Buddha came up with this teaching. That's why his famous advice, Sabba Papasa Akarana, Kusalesa Upasampada, Sachitta Pariyodhapana, Etang Buddhana Sasana. These are the advice of all Samasa Buddha. Sabbe means all, Papasa, evil. Akarana. All evil has to be avoided. It's not only avoid evil. All evil has to be avoided. But when he come to wholesomeness, he didn't use the word supper. He said kusalesa. Kusala. Wholesomeness. Kusalesa. Upasampada. Wherever there is condition to do, you must do. He never say you must do all impossible. But whenever there is condition, we have without condition, don't try to be capable and all those things and get yourself into unnecessary trouble. That's why the Buddha is very wise. All his words are very, very important pointers to cultivation. So kusalesa upasampada. Then he said, this mind, sacitta pariyodhapanam. So this mind, you need to purify it. And these are the advice of all Buddhas. And the advice comes from the understanding of this law of karma. If you don't avoid all evil to good and purify the mind, you cannot free your mind. You cannot prevent coming from recurring, from taking its effect. So avoiding all evil, cultivating wholesomeness is the beginning of purification. That's why under the seven stages of purification, you have the purification of views. So they call it Ditti Visuddhi. So you have to purify your view, straighten your view. So all these seven stages of purification is what cultivation is all about. Then you also have to purify your precepts. Means sila visuddhi. Once you purify your precepts, then you can develop the meditative training to purify your views. That's why from sila visuddhi, you move on to ditti visuddhi. Then after that only, you move up the rest of the seven stages of purification. So cultivation is always about sila, leading to straightening of view, means avoiding all evil, then cultivate wholesomeness. Then purification of mind is to straighten your view, is to purify your wrong view, your delusion, to root it out, to develop understanding. Yeah. So this is how the cultivation has been taught. Yeah. And from there, you can see how wise the Buddha is and how he actually developed the understanding of the teaching and shared with the world. It's very beautiful. Okay, I'll read on. Yeah. You must also practice the perfections of patience, means kanti, then vigor is virya, then dhyana samadhi, and prajna. So there are six perfections. They only have dana, sila, then kanti. Kanti is patient endurance with wisdom, then virya. Then they call it dhyana samadhi, where this is a samadhi perfection, which is actually meditative. Then from dhyana samadhi, which is the stability of sati and samadhi, you develop the wisdom, the prajna. So you must cultivate all of these six paramitas, all these six paramitas, the Dhamma. So why did the Buddha not speak the great vehicle Dhamma to begin with? It was because he feared that those of the two other vehicle, means the sound hearer and the Pachika Buddha, would not have it in their heart to benefit others, but would only care to benefit themselves. That is why he spoke the lesser Dhamma first, or the provisional Dhamma first. Yeah. Then later, when they have realized their own enlightenment, here the English word is wrong, self-benefit. But once you reach Arahant, there is no more self-benefit. They could start to think about enlightening others, means go the Bodhisattva way. Thus, the Buddha used all manners or skillful means or method to teach living beings to leave behind their attachment, their craving, their clinging, their delusion. Then living beings had to learn to part with things they could not put down, means their attachment. So this part is actually described by Xuanhua in his own way, but he like his style is like that. So sometimes you cannot blame them because in Mandarin, the Mandarin word that they use is sometimes if you translate it directly to English, it can lead to misunderstanding. You know what they use the word "zhi mean, you know what it "tu" in Hokkien it "tor." "Zhi tu" is "tor kaki." Because you cultivate for your own liberation, understand? For your own enlightenment. But you don't have that love and compassion, to actually teach others, help others, benefit others. That's why, in that sense, they use the word because they only interested in self-enlightenment, understand? To them, Mahayana is selfish, understand? Where everything about self, maybe self-enlightenment or whatever, is selfish. That's why they say they still have selfishness, zi du, for the benefit of themselves. But when you understand, actually the meaning is not like that. What the Buddha wants them to develop is, this is based on my nature's understanding. It's just like if you want me to teach this type of Dhamma to living beings. If I were to tell them that you have to go by the Mahayana way and cultivate aeons and aeons and aeons, perfect yourself, he said, please don't come and see me. I got no time for them because their life is so short, as I said, and they are more interested in what I Maslow need theory. The basic food and shelter. Then after that, they want to live life, they want to enjoy, you know. You think they got time for all this type of thing? So more important is to get them interested in this teaching first. Wait for them to get into trouble. When the first noble truth reality hit, when coming, conditioning come back and give them all the awakening or the hard knock. And then that time you talk to them. You know why? It's because you don't have this basic understanding of the provisional Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. And then you teach them about the Buddha's advice to avoid all evil to good. And that's why we pray. And then to help themselves, they're very keen on. You want to free from all this suffering or problem, or not, so that in future you don't have to come and suffer like that. He sure tell you, no problem. You tell me how to do it, I will go for it. Then precept. And these are easier, isn't it? But once they free already, like they go through the sinful way, then they know how lucky they are to have this teaching. Then they can think of helping others. That's how the second phase, the middle, means the Bodhisattva way, leading to Samasa Buddhahood. And for me, this is the understanding. This is what the Buddha actually saw. That's why it's easier to teach like that. And you may recall when I came out to share, even after Yun Chan came and asked me to come out to share, how did I share? How did I start? I never start off with all the complicated teachings. No point. Yeah, I realized they cannot fall. And they are not ready. That's why I had to revert back to very basic. Then get them to understand the importance of this teaching. Because it's your life. Nothing to do with my nature. When there is condition, then my nature manifests and share and teach. And if you yourself are not serious about life, you don't appreciate life, and you don't want to like seek answer or solution to your life problem, then no point. It's just like a person who is so deluded, who don't see the importance of going the spiritual path to realize the enlightenment, to free. No matter what you tell him, his focus is still on the materialistic success. They want to be successful this life. This is more important to them. This life, I have the money, I have the wealth, I have the resources. But they overlook their health. They overlook the life. So by the time they strive so hard to achieve some of this materialistic success, they realize they are too old already, too sick already. And they don't have the life. It means they never really have the time to live life. So by the time they come to their old age, too late already. Then they realize to start even cultivating, meditating is so tough, so difficult. When they were young, they never look at it. When their body is healthy, when they have the causes and conditions, but they are more interested in enjoying life. That's not chasing after materialistic success. And these are common to humanity. Of course, not everybody is like that. But most people, they go after what they call materialistic success. Of course, there are a lot of things that you can work towards to achieve success in life. Like I share in the seminar, the international seminar, the book, Success in Life, Following the Dhamma Way. Initially, it's the mundane success. Most people go after mundane success. Yeah, they want to have the good life. They want to have financial freedom. They want to be famous. They want to be successful, economic-wise, career-wise. Then maybe later on, financial. So, economic success is quite easy, relatively. Then career success also quite easy. Most people can make it. But when it comes to what they call spiritual success, that one is very difficult. Very few people. Then sometimes even relationship, good family unit, that type of success is also very rare. Yeah. And most people are more interested in financial success. After academic and career, they look for success in the financial aspect. That's why they join politics. They join a lot of those funny career. Then some, they want to become world champion because of good money. So they chase after this, but at the expense of what? Your youth, your health, almost your entire life. But when you understand the Dhamma way, it's actually so fulfilling. You not only can have materialistic success, you can also have spiritual success. And the spiritual success is the pillar behind everything. Without the spiritual success, the way you achieve all the other things can get you into trouble. When you don't know how to do it in accordance with the Dhamma way. But when you understand, you can have the best of all. That's why my nature came and I did it. I went through the whole thing. I reached the pinnacle of all my materialistic success, and together I realized the spiritual success too. You read that book, you will know the success in life following the Dhamma way. That seminar book that I developed into the transcript. So all this, when you understand, then life become beautiful, wonderful. It's not the usual deluded way of pursuing success through ignorance, through delusion, through very determined willpower alone. Without the Dhamma understanding, you can go wrong. You can actually develop a lot of delusion and it will backfire. You may still get it through your willpower, but you go through the crooked way, coming will come back and you will be hit. Left, right, and center, everywhere you will gonna. That's why the Dhamma way is still the most fulfilling. And when you can have the Dhamma way, my nature rejoices. Okay, we go back to the notes. I have to stop already because 9:53 already. Okay, I will mark this page here. No, no, we are here. Okay, maybe I read this next paragraph. At this point in the sutta, everyone should, Sena said, return the light and reverse the illumination. Means, 回光返照. Means you reverse the light, you look within. And reverse the illumination means you illuminate with awareness from inside. Most people, because of their senses, they allow their mundane mind to run outside of their senses. That's why they didn't reverse the light. Hui Quang. You didn't reverse the light, the awareness, to go inside. You are just interested in chasing after the external phenomenal world. And what is the phenomenal world? Phenomenal world of delusion. Illusion. Phenomenal world of consciousness and form. And because you lack wisdom, that's why you have problem. That's why he said, at this point in the sutta, the Buddha said, Shenhua said, everyone should return the light. Means the light of awareness, and reverse the illumination from inside out. Ask yourself, have I now separated from my attachment? What is your attachment to the external phenomenal world of form and consciousness? You have separated from your attachment, you should separate from them. Oh, sorry, if you have separated from your attachment, you should separate from them a bit further. If you have not separated from them, hurry up and do so. Do not be attached. So to me, all this need wisdom and understanding. So when you have wisdom and understanding, it's automatic. You should definitely believe in the Dhamma, see? Which the Thassakammana or the Buddha has spoken. We should not merely listen without actually cultivating it or practicing it. The most important thing is to separate from attachment, means develop the wisdom not to be deluded, deceived, so that you won't cling, you won't grasp. Then the final one is, why is it so? Why should one separate from all attachment? So this question, you have to develop your own understanding. If you don't see the importance, you will continue to procrastinate and dilly-dally. But if you see the importance, you will go all up, like what I did in the year 1971. The moment I received the book, The Four Noble Truths, the first edition of What Buddhists Believe by Chief Reverend, I saw the Four Noble Truths. I straight away never turned back. This is what I have been looking for all this while. But straight away, I read the Four Noble Truths. I knew this is what I need. Nobody can summarize all of life into just Four Noble Truths, both mundane and supramundane. At that time, my nature already knew and understood what that thing is. That's why it ceased all search. It just go all out to cultivate this Dhamma. Okay, I'll mark this page. Then we end for second session. So now we open up for meditation reporting.
对啊，一个礼拜没有来上课。我是上礼拜回来的，然后其实出去旅行本来是没有任何的 expectation，那很单纯，因为我的 husband 想去，不是我想去，是他想去，所
是，
以就去
就陪他去，
啊，然后。其实我们去，我去一个月，然后我的 husband 去3个礼拜，然后我们大概花了17天在外面旅行。那个旅行其实，我想很多人去过 Europe，大家都不可否认那是一个很漂亮的地方。
很漂亮的地方，
我们也跑了很多的地方，但是那些地方其实都很美丽，但是。我都没有很兴奋，
Sadhu, very good.
没有，算是快乐的，因为跟孩子跟 husband 这样子出去
一
算
个
是快
family
乐的，
对，
但是我没有很兴奋哦。我也没有任何的预期哈，但是，那种感觉就好像你。这样子看过，好像没有灵魂在里面。
Sadhu, 很好，That's why cultivator will have that type of understanding.
其实我要讲的是，我们大概出去了17天，然后我们最后回到 Munich，那我儿子的住的地方，因为我老公大概就还有2、3天就回 Malaysia。然后我还有10天，我们那时候还在想，我还跟我的 husband 说，哇，因为整个欧洲是没有戴口罩，而且太多人了，因为大家都那时候刚好放假吧，然后又再加上，反正就是到处都是很多人，到处大家都没有戴口罩，然后这17天我们都很平安度过。然后我还跟我的 husband 说，哦，回去马来西亚不用戴口罩，因为我们都没有戴口罩。然后我们就很高兴回去我的儿子住的那边。
Munich,
结果他的 roommate 确诊，就在我们回去的应该是前面1、2天。然后我们一回去，然后隔天我们知道他的 roommate 确诊，而且他的 roommate 是德国人嘛，那 他没有任何的觉得这是一个很严重的事情，
对对
所以他也跟我们讲话，没有戴口罩，
对，
然后我们 share kitchen share living room 什么什么的，所以当然我们也确诊了。我的 husband 要回的前一天，他开始咳嗽了，那我就说验一下好，可是验出来是一条线哦，所以他还是
就
回。
那个地方，
所以他还是回
对，
如期的回马来西亚，
对
那就
对对，
剩下我跟我的孩子。
嗯，
那他回去那一天，我就开始伤风。
OK。
那其实我本来是计划我那一个礼拜我可能要出去买一点东西，因为我完全没有，没有我们完全没有 shopping 嘛。那我就开始有点伤风，然后不舒服。然后我就验，哦，我就确诊了嘛。然后没有，其实我们再回来努力，然后我发现他的室友才刚确诊。其实那个当下，我就接受了一个事实，就是我们也会确诊。然
Very good.
后我就 ask forgiveness，
啊，
因为
啥
我
子？
觉得怎么会有那么巧的事
对
情，
对对对。
而且。在我们 happy 完了回来，不过我们也很 lucky，就是我们已经旅行已经到尾声了，我们才，
对。
所以在那个当下我就知道这个是一个，我最后这个礼拜其实是我自己的一个，怎么讲，我自己的一个，不能说旅行，因为我确诊了嘛，我也不能
对
去
对
哪里。
对对对对，
那虽然在德国是无所谓
无
的，
所谓的呀。
那很 lucky，因为我的孩子住的后面是 Olympia Park，它是一
哦
片
呀呀，
很大的森林，
对对对，
所以我有空，因为很冷，大概10度，那时候
哦，
的
蛮
天
冷
气都
哦，
蛮冷的，
啊，对
所以我伤风很严重，所以我想要晒太阳，所以我就会自己去那个 park。走走，而且那个礼拜其实我的生活就慢下来，我只有煮饭跟去公园，
对，
不然就是我也忘记我，反正一下子慢下来，你会觉得哇，比出去玩还好玩呢。
对，
而且我在煮饭，我在洗碗，我会突然觉得那好疗愈哦。我的六十，
啥都
就
，very
是
good，
你很 enjoy 那个当下，因为你从来没有这么慢做这件事。然后，尤其去那个公园，我会觉得，因为那个公园其实是完全没人啊，然后它是一个很漂亮的森林，然后你会觉得你跟天地自然结合
对，
在一
跟
起，
nature 天地
对
自
对
然
对，然后你会觉得。哇，你很appreciate，虽然它可能是一个 commit，但是给我一个这么美丽的一个礼拜
Correct，
来恢复，来
来
度
恢
过，
复度过，then recover，recuperate，因为我们一慢下来修行时，cultivator，you become different 哦，especially when I go for tour also because I don't like the program to be very hectic one，back to back one。Check in hotel, check out hotel, go bus, travel here, then look, walk a lot. Oh, that one, I say, we are not here to like, they say in Hokkien, yong gao bun, means whatever money you pay, you make sure it's worth it. You say, it's not like that, I don't know. Like, you realize, holiday means holiday. In fact, when you don't run around, so hectic, your life slow down, then you go back to normal, be with nature. Then, because we are cultivator, that's why we feel the big difference. And then the other thing that I have to share with you all is because after 1989, I came to this realization and understanding. Whenever I travel that time, I make sure my presence is there. You know what is presence? Is my nature, my nature, my awareness, my understanding. I will have the awareness to stay there and to really observe, to be with that nature like you mentioned or saying, then like one with everything. There is like, I realized I was really there. Otherwise, you know what happened? A lot of people go to a come back, you say, how? Oh, you see, very hectic, but very nice, very enjoyable, the view, everything. But they don't really understand that they were never there. But they are so excited, carried by the thought, understand? And most of the time, they are not observant. On the past also, they don't see much thing. Of course, scenery a lot. Take a lot of photo. Some too busy taking photographs. Then laughing, talking, and all those things. Then eating also, more or less hidden. But if you have the understanding when you are heedful, when you are mindful, when you are present, really, you can really be there. But that present is so different now. When you are fully aware and fully appreciating that nature's condition and everything, and you observe what? Everything that is around you. Even your colleague, your whatever. Even I went on that cruise ship also. I silent. I with the wave, with nature, everything. Then I observe. Then I see the joy of living and all those things, life. And where everyone is different. When they go on a travel, on a cruise, or on whatever, everyone has their own, what they call, stages of living life, I call it. And most of them are not cultivators. Unless you're a cultivator, you cannot live. You cannot have that reason to be aware, to be that whole thing. But don't get me wrong. Don't go and travel and say, produce well. Then you don't know what to do. Not that time. This one is very natural. Very naturally aware. Every moment, every instant, that nature is with me. Even while eating, or observing, then while looking at, because I like to see when I travel, especially Europe or overseas, even Japan, China, or what. I like to see around how civilization actually evolves, develops, then how people interact, and how the culture, how the building, everything is very different. That's why when I went to Europe, I observed there was one thing. They are still, most of the city, apart from the major city, of course, especially you go to UK, and even certain part of France, and I think I was in Paris and around there, and the other European country. I realized their building, most of them are very traditional, with the colonial type of facade and all that, hardly change or not. Only in the city, the high rise, all the thing, the landscape is different. But most of these are hardly any change or not, especially UK. They are reflected. We all colonial, under colonial rule. We have transformed so much. Our building, or even most of our town is so different. But really, you go to UK, you see. I was so surprised. I went to a few of these very more outskirts type of town. I saw hardly any change. Everything is still very traditional, very old. So you can feel their consciousness, their thinking is still very traditional. That's why you can experience all this when you travel, when you really have the Dhamma with you, the awareness with you, the city. Then what you experience is very good. Because you have the understanding. That's why you will have that feeling like you mentioned when you were traveling with your husband, your children. It's like a family thing and should be very happy. Although you are very happy, yeah. But you realize like there is no soul inside there, understand? That something is missing. It's just undeniable fact that Europe is beautiful. Yes. My son recently just came back from Europe too. He went to UK, then he went to Switzerland, he went to Milan and all those areas. Then he sent the photo on the Facebook. Very beautiful. Yeah. But if you have the time, the understanding, the means to really live this type of life, experience this type of travel and tour, you become very different when you have the Dhamma. That's why when she, that last 1 week, when the husband came back, although tested positive, but no problem, because she realized Munich is the Olympic city last time, Munich game, I remember. So the Olympian village at the back, where they have this green nature, you know. So she went for, you take the sunlight, the sun bath, it's very good for you. Then you will recover. Then you slow down. When you slow down, you recuperate very fast. For us, we recuperate very fast. We are cultivator, we are meditator. Then for me, if I have a good rest, one night I recover. Especially some fullness, yeah, or they call it the flu and the cold and all those things. So good. Continue. 还有什么？其实我有一个比较特别的
experience，就是因为。 到后来，我的嗅觉跟味觉都没有了。然后那时候，我突然发现，哦，原来它影响我们生活那么大。Your
senses affect you, your life.
会变成说，其实吃饭，或者是，尤其是吃饭，你会觉得好像就是没有你想以前想的那么重要，因为那个没有。 没有什么意义，因为呢，只是要吃饭。尤其是我在飞回来的飞机上，因为太满了，其实是没有一个空位。
对。
然后我坐在一个，其实是我的一个坏习惯，因为我刚好坐在一个。很大很大只的一个黑人的旁边，
哦，OK，
我的眼睛看到的时候，其实我是害怕，但是我因为他坐在我的位置，然后他很不情愿的，移到旁边去，因为他太大只了，
对对对，
然后我坐下的时候，我有点忐忑不安，因为那是我自己。 我的眼睛告诉我，我的告诉我，
perception，
我put了一个一些label在上面。然后我坐下了之后，其实我没有味觉，我也没有嗅觉，什么都没有。然后我发现，其实那时候我后来回想，其实我蛮 peaceful 的，整个过程是蛮 peaceful 的。我怎么没有一些？ 不舒服的感觉，尤其是因为我坐的是沙特阿拉伯的航空，
那个 airline very good
我在去的时候，因为他们的餐点都是会是吃那种很多香料的，我其实是不喜欢。所以我去的时候我没有吃哦，可是我回来，因为我没有嗅觉了，那我肚子饿。
You lost that smell and
我就吃了，
taste. Oh, very good.
但是我完全没有不舒服哦。
Oh, very good.
那所以，我回来之后，我再想起这趟旅程，我觉得，所以我的 sense door 让我很多，给我很多的怎么讲的。不公平，不是不公平，就是给我很多我的喜欢不喜欢，就
The
是
like
那
and
种
dislike, yeah,
在
对，
里
分
面，
别心，
对，就是分别心，所以没有了那个东西，其实每个
蛮
人，
peaceful 蛮
对，
peaceful
什么那个香料会让我
对，
胃不舒服呢？那根本就是我的洞嘛。
对，那个念头断掉，
所以我后来想到，我觉得。其实那时候我真的觉得，我必须 ask forgiveness，因为我怎么会？我上了那么多课，我知道这些 sense door 其实是会带来一些日常生活中，可是我没有想到对我的影响这么大。
这么大，对，
所以我那时候真的就是 ask forgiveness，因为我虽然表面上明白，可是我其实是不明白。 所以经过这次，尤其是我飞回来之后，
这一段，
我会有很深刻的体会，就是说，这些 sense door 虽然是每个人一定都有，
对，
但是它怎么会带来这么大的？
影响，影响，which is true. That's why your realization is meant to be for you to understand. Our senses work for us both ways, actually. If you don't have wisdom, the senses actually make you deluded, without the Dhamma. That's why he said he lost the sense of taste and smell. And she don't like spicy food. And you know, Saudi airline, they have a lot of very spicy type of very nice, they call spices type of food. Then he said, since no sense, then must you eat. Then eat, very peaceful. And he can just eat, blessing in disguise. Otherwise, like the trip when he flew over, because the senses make her like dislike the spices and all that. And because of that perceived, what they call aversion towards all those food, then he don't get to eat and don't get to like, I won't use the word enjoy. It means it make her like doesn't feel at ease or peaceful when she fly over there because the senses were working. And most people is complaining the other way around. Before that, they have the senses, they can smell things, they can taste things, they really enjoy. And now suddenly the senses gone. Like last time my son used to tell me that it also no taste. They say how nice the thing you cannot smell. So to you is no different. Whether got tai chao ge lek ge hou sing, the smell is gone. So like Hui Rong came to realize is that the senses can make such impact on the human being's behavior. Then only we realize that without the Dhamma and the understanding, that's why that day the sharing by Alicia is very good. He said Freddie took her to a small a back lane type of shop, not so upmarket one. And also quite outskirts. Then the back lane, the drain very smelly. So she went into the shop. The first instant is the smell actually detected that pungent or foul smell. Then of course the mind with the habitual tendency, he will perceive it and know. But the Dhamma straight away came to her. Like I always say, these are all dependent originating conditions arising. When we are nearby, because we have the senses, we will actually interact with it, we will detect. But at the moment of sense experience, that is where the Dhamma comes in. We can accept the reality, because like I always say, you've got two choices. React to it and become miserable over it, means your whole day is spoiled. Your that so-called dinner or lunch also spoil. That's because that thing will haunt you. Are you of all place? Why come here? Why Freddy bring me here? All those things. We could have, not to say we cannot afford. So all this thought creation, they will start. Understand? But because she has the Dhamma, she just smile, accept the reality because Freddy wants to eat. It's just like Hui Rong say, the husband wants to go. So accompany him, understand? Then travel together as a family. Sometimes it's not because of you, it's for the sake of the family. We sacrifice. Then we get the harmony, we get the joy, we can see them happy. That's what life is all about. Cannot be everything you decide yourself here. No, we have to be sensitive. That especially when we have the Dhamma already, we actually can understand all this. Then we should give and take. That's why sometimes I tell my wife, where you want to eat? We go. We just go. In the early day, of course, I have my preference. I say, I know, we don't go there. We go here. Yeah, I have my preference. But then later on, I understand we should actually allow people to make their own decision. I mean, they also have what they want. So you can accommodate them and allow them to have what they want. unless I really have a reason, then I will rule. I say no, no, let me go there. When I say that means you must know already. There's a reason why I say that, because there must be some sign or what, or there must be some reason that my nature understand that he say, okay, we have to go otherwise. So all this is part and parcel of the Dhamma cultivation. When you have them, you become different. So when Alicia accepted that reality and be at peace, suddenly the problem with the filthy train, everything, that thought no more doesn't come and disturb her. Then the food came out, the aroma so good. Wow, this is really good place. The food was good. And she just ate her meal and have a good meal, a good day. That's what life is all about. That's why she shared the experience was very good. And what Huirong shared also today is very good. Through your life experience, you can learn a lot of things. That's why I always say our life is our greatest teacher. Dharma is in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Every moment of sense experience is what Dhamma is all about. Now we understand how our thought create delusion, create all the habitual tendency to stir our mind, to condition us into negativity. Then we see all this as nature's condition, following paticca-samuppanna, where we have a mind. Without wisdom, we'll be affected, afflicted, conditioned. We will become what that delusion conditioned us into. But once we have the Dhamma, we become different. We stand above. Like when we start to reverse the light and illuminate from within the awareness, then the awareness that has the understanding develop different type of understanding and perspective. Then it's no longer deluded by the external phenomenal world. Then all this phenomenal world of consciousness and form has no power over you. It loses its power. And it will like collapse in front of you. It got no power over you. Then you see them as beauty, the pristine beauty and wonder of nature. Everything is so pristine, the way it is, fall into place. There is no more rejection or craving, clinging, attachment. No. You can just be with it and develop the understanding of it, the joy within, the understanding. That is like you're really there. Present, fully present. And even people say, oh, you've been to Europe. Yeah, I was there. I was fully present at that place because I want to develop all those understanding. Well, last time when I was young, I remember when I traveled, I used to tell my wife, I said, at that time, we got to budget. No? We realized that everything on budget because money is still an issue. We have to budget, we have to plan. Then when we really travel, we don't really fully there. Then when I recall last time when I traveled to all those places, I know I was there, but I didn't really was fully aware when I was there. I didn't really observe, do, and experience everything. That's why the last 20, 30 years when I travel, I become very different now. I go to whatever country, I really fully present. And I can detect energy, natures, and all those things. That's why you really have that type of Dhamma and understanding and that mind state. You become very different. Yeah. So, Fofa can make a big difference to our life, can let us understand many, many things. So, these are very good sharing. Sadhu, thank you so much. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. How you, Samoa? How you, 几个 minute? 3, 4 minutes. 嗯，好啊，不错啊，所以你的孩子也高兴啊。
其实去那边一方面是看看孩子，可是其实孩子都已经长大，不需要我去
哇，
看
好，
那
你好
个。
，independent 了啦。他在那边几年了？
他才刚第一年，今年才第二年。
哦，第二年不了。
对，他是 前年，去年4月去的。
哦，你学他才得到很快哦，
对，我们也很讶异他的德文可以进步那
是
么多，
哦，
因为，
哦，德语都 very fluent 呀，
因为他是读大学，他不是读 master，所以
对
他都
对
是要用德语
对，
嘛，所
对对对，
以，
所以他这边有 training 6个月啦，
对，他有
啊，
去读几个月的语言学校，
呀，德语呢，嗯。
所以其实我本来就不是很担心他，那我只是很，反正就到后来会觉得，它变成是一个很有 meaningful 的 trip 了，
No, definitely, yeah.
因为你会觉得旅行不再只是旅行而
对，
已，
a lot more things.
对，就好像我们有去维也纳，那维也纳有很多很艺术很什么的，
对对对，
那其实到后来因为看太多这些了，
对。
那结果。我们有去听一场莫扎特的音乐会，
哦，很好，
那个哦，让我们每个都好兴奋，
沙漏，
因为你才知道维也纳原来漂亮是在那个东西，
对，啊，
对。然后我们本来想说，我们那时候坐火车经过那个多瑙河，多瑙河好像跟巴生河没什么两样。
哎呀，
可是我们听了那个音乐会之后
就不一样了
就
咯，
不一
哇！
样了，
那个
然后
音乐
一定
会，
要再回去看那个
对，
蓝色的
对
多
对
瑙河，
对对对对对对，
所以其实旅行就是这样子，然后
呀，
并不是说每个地方你要很，
对，
而是在那一个当下你很感动，
对，
因为在那个音乐会里面我们觉得好兴奋啊，因为那个东西本来感觉有点。遥远，可是去了之后你会觉得，
Yeah, you
哦，原
will
来
feel that one.
那个是维也纳最美的地方。
对，and 很少人有那个机会去听那个音乐会的，it is really, well, some of the musical functions and all those things, they call it 音乐会啦，or it can be orchestra or whatever. The way they do it, it's very beautiful, and very artistic, and the vibration, everything, the atmosphere. Wow, you really feel like you are very bland. So she used the word "兴奋" is like you are very bland, really. You feel you are very bland. It's very unique. That's why sometimes you know how to listen, you know, to attend all this. It's beautiful. Like even our we got the Buddhist one also, the musical. I think Joyce like to attend that one, the famous one. She sing the Heart Sutta, all those. Annie one. Annie Choi. So she recently met her somewhere. Oh, in the Facebook, you didn't see. They took photo with her. So sometimes when you attend all this musical show, it's just 2 hours, 2, 3 hours, but it's very beautiful. You silence your mind and you listen. Oh, very beautiful. The vibration, the artwork, the atmosphere, everything. And people who go there, they are full of joy. And before you enter already, they sell all this one, the CD, everything with the music, everything. And when you go in, the environment, the atmosphere, when you sit down and you listen, it's like you are one of the many inside there who has the condition to attend. It's not everybody can have. Then sometimes, for me, I don't really fancy all this type of thing, but because of condition. So can you meet our, let me know. If pretty much you want to go or not, we got ticket and all, say, oh, then okay, I go lah. That's how you get to go. That's why when you have the causes and conditions, things will manifest and it will happen. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you have the Dhamma, you become different. You appreciate things differently. Like she said, after that show, she starts to feel so different. So I said, I was saying then, we'd like to go back and see that things again. Because that place is really beautiful. Vinaya, in Mandarin is what? V. Vinaya, yeah, the Mandarin one more. I listen that one, I can understand. Vinaya, So, like Yun-chan also travel a lot of places. They went to Canada. That trip, I supposed to follow her, but I didn't. Because I got something else.
But not
So,
so much.
oh, not so much to Europe. But Canada is very cold. Yeah, you have to go in summer. That time, her itinerary, I remember, her go everywhere. Like one loop, Canada to US and all those area. But if I can make it, will be good. That one, that place I haven't been. I haven't been before, Canada.
I'm really still wanting to
Oh, is it? Oh, see, can. We see how it goes. Maybe next year onward we can. We see how it goes. Oh, you say thank you so much. Can. Oh, very good. We all should rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, 10:33. We can end the whole thing. Let us rejoice and share merits. We will do the closing puja. Akasatta Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Ettha vata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetuja. Vito bhavatu lokuja. Raja bhavatu dhamiko. Imina punyang kamina. Mame bala samagamo. Sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole Zoom. Sadhu sadhu sadhu.